Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Baba Basra Daf Kuf Samach Zayin, Baba Basra 167. And the Gemara is discussing precautions people take to avoid allowing their documents to be forged. And in that context, the Gemara tells us a series of stories where the rabbis and the court suspects that somebody is forging their document, and as a result of this, they take measures to force the person to admit that indeed they did forge the document. So Abaye, the first story has to do with Abaye. The Gemara tells us that there was a certain person, Ahuda Ave Kasev Bei Tilta Bepardisa. The contract said that he is buying a Tilta Bepardisa, that he's buying one-third of the pardes, the orchard. But then what did the person do? Azal machake legage de bet vikare. So he erased the two parts of the bet that come out on the top and on the bottom, and so then it made it look like, instead of like a bet, like a vav. And so it said he was buying a tilta upardisa, one-third, presumably, of the garden. And in addition to that, the pardes, so the entire pardes, the entire orchard, orchard. So this was the forger's attempt to deceive. Asla kame de Abaye. So then the guy brought his contract to Abaye, and Abaye says, "Well, the document. Why is there extra space between the vav and the pay now of pardesa? My time al ravich le'alma lahai vav. How come you made so much extra space?" So what did Abaye do? Kafte v'ode. He bound the person up until the person admitted it. So that's the key, that Abaye actually went and he, on the basis of what he thought, his umdana, his evaluation of the situation, he bound him up and forced the person to admit that he indeed forged it. And there was a second story with Abaye. Ahudave Kasabe Manas Ruvain Vishimon Ache. So somebody said, "I'm buying the portion of Ruvain and Shimon, who are brothers." But then what did he do? There was actually a brother there whose name was Acha, and whose name was Ache. So what did he do? He took the name Ache and he put a vav in front of it. And so Azal Kasav Bei Vav, he added a vav in front of Ache. And so now it looks like he's buying Ruvain, Shimon, and Ache. He's buying the portion of the three brothers, not the two brothers. So again, they came to Abaye. What did they do? Kafte va'ode. Abaye said, why is there such less space between the letters now that you added an extra letter? I assume you added the extra letter vav. And Abaye bound him up and forced him to admit his crime. And there was a third case after that where there was a contract, that the witnesses were Rav and Rav Acha bar Ada. So they came to Rav and said, "Is this your signature?" And so Rava said, "Yes, it is my signature, but I know it's a forgery, and it's really not my signature, even though it looks exactly like my signature, because Kamed Rav Acha bar Ada lo chasimu li me'olam. I never would have signed in front of Rav Acha bar Ada's name. As a sign of respect, I would have always signed after his name." So what happened then? Again, kafte va'ode. They again bound him up and forced him to admit his crime. As the Gemara says, well, you understand how he was able to forge Rava's name, but how was he able to forge Rav Acha bar Ada's name? Because Rav Acha bar Ada apparently had a condition where his hand shook a lot. So how was the forger able to get that? The Rasas Yade. So the Gemara gives two possibilities. Either Ancha Yade Amitzah, there was a rope there that was hanging across the river and was serving as a border, that maybe he put his hand on the rope when he signed it, and that created this shaking situation so that his hand was able to mimic the signature of Rav Acha bar Ada. The other possibility was that he stood on a utensil, a shaky utensil, when he signed it. But the upshot of these Gemaras is that we see that if you have a suspicion that somebody is using dishonest methods, you can kafte v'ode, you can force him to admit his crime by binding him up. And so the Tashbetz was asked a question, and there was a person who was blind, and he was traveling with another person, and he had pearls sewn into his garments. And the other person who he was traveling with was known to be a thief. And then when the guy got up in the morning, he saw that everything was stolen. And and they strongly suspected that this known thief was the one who took it. So they wanted to know what could they do, because there's no witnesses that this guy took the pearls. And so the Tashpit says that there's the authority given to every judge, Kol Dayan, Bekol Dor Vador, in every generation, to establish Gedarim, to establish fences. And his proof for this is our Gemara here, where Kaf Deva Ode, where they came and they went and they bound them up in order to prove that this was the person. And so therefore, he says, you can put him in a jail until he admits to his crime. So too, the Chachma Shlomo discusses a case where they assume somebody stole something from the house, and they want to know if they could actually beat him. They ask the Chachma Shlomo, can we beat him until he admits it? And here too, the Chachma Shlomo says that it would be permitted to do so, because you had a strong evaluation of the situation, says that this person was a thief, and so therefore he allowed you to use force in order to determine that this person was indeed the thief. The Ber Mayim Chaim says this is only a court is allowed to do this, but not an individual. And here too, we of course have to be extraordinarily careful, because this could lead to abuses. So only in that situation, we don't know exactly the type of physical force they used, but it was under that situation which the Chachma Shlomo allowed it, and we have to be extraordinarily careful before applying that to a different situation. And the Shud Kinas V'radim proves from here that sometimes, even if you admit under duress, it's considered an admission. And that's from the fact Kaf Deva Ode, they bound him and he admitted, and that was still considered an admission. So we see that if a person is forced to admit sometimes under duress, that it has halachic weight.